If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of John, the book of St. John, chapter 5. We're going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture. When you hear me start reading it, you're probably going to know it right away, but we're going to dig a little deeper into it tonight. I feel like the Lord has me working in a different direction than I usually go tonight, but if you bear with me, I feel like the Lord has a word for somebody tonight. The book of John, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. The book of John, chapter 5, will start in verse 1. When you get there, shout out amen. If you don't have your Bibles, the words will be provided for you on the board. The book of John, chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. That's 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." I'm preaching to you tonight about a miracle of being made whole or being complete. We've already seen physical healing in this place, and we've seen spiritual healings in this place. We've seen prodigals come home. But I feel in the spirit that there is a need for a spiritual healing of wholeness. So if you'll help me tonight, and with the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you for a few moments on this topic, the miracle of being made whole. The miracle of being made whole. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, Lord. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to be made whole, to receive your spirit, Lord. Lord, we thank you for every single person under the sound of my voice tonight, God. Lord, we ask that you open the hearts and the minds of every single one of them to hear the words that you want them to hear tonight, Lord. Lord, anoint these lips, Lord, and let your words come through. Your words come through these lips, Lord. God, we love you tonight. We praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated and the musicians may go down. The miracle of being made whole. As the Holy Ghost directed me to John chapter 5 in our text, I realized that this was more than just a great miracle that happened 2,000 years ago. But this is a parallel of us tonight, right here in this building. And for those who are watching on Facebook, and for those that might listen to this later on our podcast, the first thing that I find is that there was a feast of the Jews. There was a feast of the Jews. And doing a study chronologically, you'll find that this must have been either the feast of Passover or the feast of Pentecost, which represents either repentance and baptism or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So this represents those that have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and who are pursuing him in their relationship. The next thing that we find is that this place is at Jerusalem, which means city of peace. There's no city that you can go into worldwide today and say, this is the city of peace, unless you're talking about the city of Mount Zion, which is the church. We find this place was called in the Hebrew Bethesda. Bethesda, it means house of mercy. Again, no true house can you go into worldwide that's a true house of mercy unless you're talking about the house of the living God. Because there, you can come into the house of God and mercy can happen, and then you'll leave a different creature than what you came in as. Other houses can help you, but this is a true house of mercy. And then I would point to five porches that are lined within Bethesda as the fivefold ministry or gifting that must operate within the church. We must have the gifting of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, or we cannot receive the full edification and perfecting of the saints. That's just another parallel, speaking of those that are in the church. Another thing that we find is that this is by a sheep market. This is by a sheep market. Anytime you see sheep in the scripture, it represents the people of God. It's why the song was declared that the Lord is our shepherd. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. He declared in Psalms 100 that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's why we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We got to understand that David in his time only knew sheep coming to the house of God to be sacrificed. So he's declaring, I know my position when it comes to the house of God. I come to praise and sacrifice in worshiping. And the sacrifice in ministry, the sacrifice of my finance, and the sacrifice of my time. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. Then the next thing I would draw your attention to is actually the last verse that we read that declares that this miracle happened on the Sabbath. And without a long theological discussion tonight, some of you probably already know that the fulfillment of the Old Testament Sabbath is the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament covenant. So here we have maybe six or seven strong parallels that are talking about the church. Those who are in a relationship with God. Those who have the Pentecostal experience or repented. Those that live in the house of mercy. Those that have the city of peace. Those that call the Lord their shepherd. Those with a fivefold gifting of operation in the church, and those with the Holy Ghost Sabbath. But then we read in the next verse, and in the church lay a great multitude of impotent people, of blind, of halt, and of withered, waiting for the movement of water. I know I just told you it was a parallel of the church of the living God tonight, the church that will not fail, the church that is eternal according to the word of God. And that's true. And that's true. But members within the church, we find too many that are blind, halt, withered, and impotent. Jesus goes to Bethesda, and when he goes to Bethesda, or the house of God, if you will, he is looking for something specific. He's looking for something specific. Jesus doesn't just show up in church to show up, but he's always present with a purpose. It is our responsibility to not only make sure that we know he is present, but that also we are in the middle of his purpose. That we are in the middle of his purpose. So whatever reason he decides to bless us with his presence, he has a purpose for us. So let's not just get in his presence with worship and praise, but let's let our faith move us into his purpose. Let our faith move us into his purpose. And he is here tonight for the miraculous. He's here for the wholeness of every individual in this house. So Jesus is going to church, and there he is walking up and down the aisles. It's interesting that there are multitudes of people that are hurt and broken and needy, and he's not stopping to minister to any of them. He's not stopping to minister to any of them. It seems so strange that a God who's all-powerful is responding this way, but it's not abnormal. It's his way of giving us power of choice. When the disciples think that they're going to go to the bottom of Davy Jones' locker in that monster storm on the Sea of Galilee, he walks on top of the storm as if to pass by them. He's not just looking for a need in the house tonight. There are needs all over this house. But he's looking for someone who will have the faith in the middle of their need and respond in faith, knowing that he is the answer to what they need. He's walking up and down these aisles, church. He's looking for individuals. He operates, as it were, in the spirit. As he sees a man who has been lying there a long time now. In that case, there were many individuals sick, many individuals hurt, but there is one individual that stops him. And this is an individual who is impotent. He's probably paralyzed from his neck down. He has not the ability to move, not the ability to help himself. His hope has been placed in Bethesda's principle that once the angel comes from heaven and stirs the waters of Bethesda, the first ones in the water are made whole, whatsoever disease he had. So for 38 years, his friends have carried him, individuals have helped him. I hope he's getting seniority and getting closer to the pool after 38 years. And he's waiting. His faith is in the troubling of the water, and he is waiting. And Jesus comes by and speaks this question to him. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? It's a strange question to this seemingly paralyzed man. It's a strange question. Surely everyone wants to be made whole. You would think everyone wants to be healed, but that's just not the case. You see, I heard a preacher talk about a man who he knew that had chronic pain in his back. And this preacher went to pray with this man because he felt God leading him to pray for his healing and that God was going to take his pain away. He felt that God was going to heal this man. And the man looked at the preacher and he said, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me, but don't speak healing to heaven. And don't ask God to heal my body." Now, I can only imagine the look on the preacher's face. Like, what? Are you serious? I can only imagine that look. And the man said, "Well, I don't want you to feel bad about me. But the truth is, I'm on physical disability with the government." Now, I'm not trying to belittle anybody here tonight. I just want to share this story with you. And he said that if I'm healed, I've gotten very accustomed to there being money that comes to me every month without me having to do any work. And if I'm healed, I'm going to have to go back to work. Now, I thank God for help and programs and things to help our handicapped individuals or those on hard times. But if you have the ability to be healed, the opportunity to be made whole, and you choose not to, this is what the Bible says about that. If you choose not to work, you're worse than an infidel and you don't deserve to eat. But when I move this into the spiritual, it's not going to feel as good as this man thinks it is. It's not going to feel as good Because if you have the opportunity to be made spiritually whole and you choose not to tonight, maybe you don't deserve to eat of the spiritual blessings that God has for you. Not everybody wants to be made whole. Because when you're made whole, there's certain expectations that come with healing and wholeness. No longer are you going to be babied and everybody take care of you every time you have a need. You're going to have to mature a little bit. And there's going to be demand of you taking responsibility and working. Not everybody wants to be made whole. So I tell you this to show you that it's a real question that this man has to answer. This question that Jesus asked him, "Will thou be made whole?" This is a real question. Wilt thou be made whole? When this man hears this question, you can hear both the negative and the faith in him as he declares, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, there's another stepping down in front of me. It looks so negative that I don't and I can't and I'm always last and I'm never lucky. Someone always beats me in this one and that one and this thing and that thing." But he says one thing here that we need to hear. He says, "But while I am coming." This man is probably paralyzed from his neck down, does not have the ability to stand on his feet and do a swan dive in Bethesda. He doesn't have the ability to crawl over to the pool and fall in. He's paralyzed probably, but when the water is troubled, he's crying out, "Somebody push me in. Somebody kick me. Somebody throw me. I don't care if it's insulting. Just get me into the pool." He doesn't have the ability, but he's trying. He's trying. Now, these are two points of faith. I know that we talk about the multiplicity of what faith is, but sometimes we need to look at the other side of what faith can be. And these two things of faith stop Jesus and let him operate in wholeness for this man. The first one is that the man is sick and tired of being sick and tired. He's sick and tired of being sick and tired because the phrase when he declares, Jesus said this man had been there now a long time. The only difference between being there a long time and being there now a long time is perception. And you could be there 2 weeks or 38 years, and it's been a long time. But when you get to a place that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I need a miracle, you've been there now a long time. You've been there now a long time. This is the faith that stopped Jesus. He's walking by blind people, halt people, wounded people, but this faith stops him. Somebody sick and tired. Is there anyone sick and tired here tonight? Is there anyone sick and tired in the house tonight? The next element of faith is willing to try. Willing to try. I've never been able to get my healing, but while I'm coming, I've never got my miracle, but while I'm trying, I've tried 100 times before, but I'm willing to try again. I'm willing to try again. 2 points of faith for your miracle of wholeness. Sometimes faith is so high that we can swing from the chandeliers and run laps on the walls, but other times faith is simply sick and tired of being like you are and willing to try just one more time. So Jesus speaks to the man, and he doesn't do as he does other times in miracles by lifting him up. He doesn't take him by the hand. He doesn't lay hands on him. Thank God he didn't spit on him like he does some other times that we see. But when he speaks to this man and begins the journey of wholeness, he gives him 3 commandments that the man did not have the ability to do. And I'm going to repeat that because I think it's very important for us to understand. He gives him 3 commandments that the man did not have the ability to obey. I think some of us are able to obey some commandments that the Lord gives us, but this man didn't have the ability to obey the commands that the Lord gave him. He told the man to stand up, pick up your bed, and walk. Well, if the dude could have stood up, he wouldn't have been laying there all these years. And he could have walked. He would have been walking all over the town if he could have picked up his bed. His friends wouldn't have been carrying him on that bed every day to Bethesda. He gives the man three commandments that he did not have the ability to obey until Jesus speaks the words. Because the power of creation lies in the spoken word. And with God in the flesh, he declares, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Now the authority for this man to have wholeness is upon him. His faith has got to connect with those words. And he's got to be sick and tired of being hurt. And he's got to be willing to try one more time, or the words of authority will just sit there and have no power. The man's faith has to connect with the words of authority for power to be evident. Simple words. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. But the man begins to do this, and now this is my imagination here. This is my imagination. I could see him hearing the words of the Lord that you've got to rise up or get up. How many times have good-meaning loved ones and friends told him, you know what, bud? I believe if you would just concentrate really hard with your mind and tell your pinky to move, I think that you might get it to move. How many times did he try and fail every time? How many times did he maybe feel hope and he tried and he failed? How many times did maybe he felt this experience or that experience or this situation will be different this time and he tried and he failed? How many commitments did he make to God? How many times did he pray? How many times did he try and he not got his miracle? But because he's sick and tired and he's willing to try just one more time, he wills his hand to move just a little bit. He wills his hand just to move a little bit. And the words of authority have spoken. And because he's willing to try, this time his hand moves. It might be in a shaky way. And he somehow gets his hands under him and he pushes himself up and stands on his feet. Not the best balance you've ever seen. Again, this is my imagination when I first hear this. Remember that. This is my imagination. Not the best balance you've ever seen, but he's standing. And the second command says, pick up your bed. And so then those little skinny arms that have not had any use for 38 years reach down and picks up that bed and he's holding it. It might not look like the smoothest or the greatest power and the most balanced, but he is obeyed. And he's standing and he's holding. And then the third command says, now walk. And so he just takes one foot and puts it slowly in front of the other. Now that's my imagination of what this should have looked like. But the next scripture says, there was an immediate that happened to him. There was an immediate that happened to him. When he began to be sick and tired and to try one more time, now there's an immediate made whole. And you got to realize how powerful this is. You got to realize how powerful this is. Because this man, even if he's been healed, he shouldn't have been able to stand on legs with atrophied muscles. He's got atrophied muscles. He shouldn't have had any sort of balance. No sort of balance whatsoever. It's been 38 years. I could barely sit for 38 minutes, and when I go to try to stand up, my knees start crying at me. But it's been 38 years. He's got psychological issues. He's got all sorts of balance issues. He's got athletic situations that he's dealing with. He should not have been able to do this. He should not have been able to do this. But when you are made whole, when you are made whole, it does more than just heal you. It does more than just heal you. It restores you. It restores you. It restores you like you've never been sick. It restores you like you've never been hurt. It restores you like you've never been broken. It restores you like you've never been dropped. It restores you like you never had a problem. It restores you like you've never been addicted. When you are made whole, it's like the situation never even happened to you. It's like the situation never even happened to you. Now we move on to these four groups of people identified in the first of this chapter. And it's very important because while we have a little bit of this in the physical realm in the church, we absolutely have a lot of this in the spiritual realm. The Bible says that there are multitudes there in the church, if you will, that are impotent. The word impotent in the physical means no physical strength in generality. But it means, in the spiritual, it means those that are among us, repented, perhaps feel the Holy Ghost, call the Lord their shepherd, have the fivefold ministry, the New Testament Sabbath or house of mercy that all people have got, but they don't have much spiritual strength. They don't have much spiritual strength. It's why when the first sign of trouble comes, they don't think about going to their couch and kneeling down, talking to their heavenly Father and putting on the whole armor of God and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ and rebuking the hit. No, they got to call somebody else who's a prayer warrior. Let me call the pastor and the elders. Let me get somebody that knows how to pray. And there's no problem with doing that. We need to connect and share where we are living with the people of God. But the same Holy Ghost in them is the same Holy Ghost in you. And something should rise up in you. And you should put on your whole armor and you should fight. The truth of the matter is in the house of God and in the people of God, there are way too many with very little spiritual strength. The next group of people in those is those that are blind. Those that are blind. Of course, in the physical, we know that means no sight. In the spiritual realm, it speaks more of no vision. No vision. We've got way too many among us in these last days that we're living in that have no vision of what God is doing in their lives. If there was ever a time to make some sacrifices for the kingdom of God, it's time. If there was a time to get yourself involved in ministry, it's time. There is an open door right now. God is reaching for people to stand up and to offer themselves in the sacrifice of ministry. And if you don't see that, then there's a vision problem. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to be super vulnerable right now. But I've strongly felt the Lord leading me to share this. Only a handful of people know this, mainly my wife. Our pastor doesn't even know this. I never talked to him about it. But with how crazy life has been for me and my family these past few months, I heavily considered stepping down as the youth pastor of this church. I started to feel as if I wasn't good enough for your kids. Let me tell you, this world, the enemy that we face daily, can truly transform your mind in the worst way possible. And on Friday night, we had an amazing youth get together at our house. And when everyone left, I looked at Amber and I said, there's no way I can step down and give up on these kids. There's no way. And Brother Jonathan solidified that for me on Sunday when he talked about focusing on what God has called you to do. God didn't call me to marry someone who lived in Indiana, said there was a youth pastor position available for me in a church that didn't exist, and then get divorced and that was it. No, God brought me here to meet an amazing, beautiful woman of God who brought me to an apostolic church that I would be absolutely terrified of at first, only to fall in love with it, get baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and become the youth pastor at Breaking Bread Apostolic Church. Church, what God called you to do, the enemy cannot stop you. You cannot allow this world to blind you today. Your vision needs to be fixed on God and what He is calling you to do in His kingdom. Do you know how close we are to the potential rapture of the church? Way too many among us don't see it. It's a vision problem. They don't see where God is working in their lives. And all they can see is the Red Sea and not the victory on the other side where their enemy is being destroyed. And all they see is confusion. There's too many among us that don't have the spiritual vision that they need. And the third group of people is those that are halt. It speaks of those that cannot walk in the physical. And the spiritual is those that don't have consistent, overcoming walk with God. And we have too many young people that are trying to make it from one youth congress or one HYC to the next. And then on Monday and Tuesday and months after Congress, we're falling into the same traps. And social media is directing our eyes to places that it shouldn't be. And too much is happening to us between times. Too many try to live from one Sunday to the next. Too many trying to operate simply out of a place of yesterday's experience, and not enough have learned to walk an overcoming walk on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I'm talking about the church of the living God. Way too many among us don't have the vision, don't have the spiritual strength, and are not walking the overcoming walk. And now the last group that we have, and I'm coming to a close if you'll stand and our worship team will come. The last group that we have is those that are withered. Those that are withered. We saw Jesus healing a man who had a withered hand. That hand was curled and discolored and it was unusable. He probably kept it behind the folds of his coat so no one would look at him with weird eyes of bewilderment. No wonder it's difficult for us to reach out and pick somebody else up if our own experience and testimony of joy is withered. There's way too many among us, myself included, that it's been a while since you woke up in the morning with a whistle on your lips and the joy of the Lord upon your heart, just because God was there and he was so good and the troubles didn't matter. Way too many among us whose peace has been stolen by the news and the society we face daily and by situations that our world is declaring and the craziness we see on social media. Too many that your experience of joy and your experience of peace has become dry. It's become dry. No wonder it's difficult for you to reach out and to live and to touch your own experiences. Dry faith, dry hope, dry joy. The good news is Jesus is here tonight at Breaking Bread Apostolic Church, like he was at Bethesda. And time after time, he's already been walking up and down these aisles. He's already here. He's been at this altar as appeals have been made. He's been here. He's looking for somebody with faith, not necessarily faith to fly on the ceilings and to make laps on the walls, but just a faith that I'm sick and tired of dealing with this problem that I have, this hurt that I feel, this handicap that has held me back, and I'm willing to try one more time in this house tonight. The first thing that we need to do is simply this. We've got to answer the same question that Jesus asked in our text. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Because it absolutely is going to demand upon you. No more spiritual welfare. That means you're not just going to coast by on what everybody else is doing. You have to work. And it also means that you've got to quit playing the baby. Quit blaming your mom. Quit blaming your dad. Quit blaming that person that you're still friends with, even though they're leading you down the wrong path. Quit blaming this. Quit blaming that. And just understand that I need to step up. I need to step up. And then you got to hear the three commands of our Lord today. He says, get up, which means whatever has hurt you, whatever has broken you, you got to stand on your own two feet and take responsibility for your stuff. Nobody on this platform, nobody in this congregation, nobody in our leadership has a golden spoon fed into their mouths. Every one of us has to deal with our stuff. And sometimes that's hurt and confusion from others, and sometimes from ourselves. But somewhere in our walk with God, we got to stand on our own two feet and say, if my mom backslides, I'm going to live for God. If everybody else walks away, the word is still true. You got to stand on your own two feet and take responsibility. Ministries in this place have got to stand on their own two feet and realize that it's not pastor and it's not the congregation that's stopping you from doing what's in your heart. But you will have to take the responsibility for the calling that God put on you and stand up and qualify yourself through the Spirit of the Word. Secondly, we've got to hear the words, take up your bed. Pick up your bed. Because service after service, others' prayers have carried you into His presence. Others' worship, not singing, but others' worship has carried you into an atmosphere of the supernatural. Others' dedication, others' personal walk with God. Service after service, week after week, month after month that have carried you into His presence. But you've got to decide that if you really want to be made whole, then you'll reach down and you'll pick up what's been carrying you and start carrying it. If nobody else in this place praises, I'm going to be a praiser because He's worthy. If no one else worships in this place, that's who I am. I'm a worshiper. If nobody else ministers, I'm going to fall in love with the people with compassion and minister because that's what I am and He's worthy. And then lastly, very important, walk. Walk. Because you've got to throw one foot in front of the other. So when Sunday is gone, you've got to decide on Monday morning, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be a praiser. We don't have church service. Nevertheless, I will be a praiser. I will be a worshiper. I will be a Christian. When Wednesday comes tomorrow and the boss snaps at you at work, and when Wednesday goes and you're caught in 5 hours of traffic trying to get home, and when everything that happens on Wednesday happens, and then Thursday morning dawns and you take that other foot, it might not look like the best balance that you've ever had in your life. But if you would just be sick and tired and willing to try just one more time, that's enough faith for a miracle. You'll stand on your own two feet and take responsibility for your ministry and your walk with God. Then that's the opportunity for words of authority that are being spoken into your life right here at this altar tonight, right here in this church tonight. We just have to ask, do we want to be made whole? Do we want to be made whole? Because it comes with responsibility. It comes with responsibility. And are we really ready to receive our miracle? Our health? Because then we're not going to be babied and carried by everybody else. And we're going to have to step up and start working. Everybody might not be patting us on the back and telling us how great we are. But we've got to decide that there's a miracle of wholeness in this house tonight. But do you personally want to be made whole? The miracle of wholeness is here, but do you personally want to be made whole? If you're ready tonight, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you'll try just one more time, these altars are open for you. And there's a miracle of being made whole waiting for you tonight.